Welcome to the Thrive Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by our special guest speaker. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit thrivevineyard.com.
We are going to start off with 1 Corinthians 12:1, and okay, we are actually going to use these little Bibles that are in front of you. So if you'd like to turn to page 717, or you can bring up the scripture on your phone, it really doesn't matter, but I'm going to be using this translation. Am I echoing? Am I okay? Okay. So here's how Paul starts off 1 Corinthians 12. Basically, he's saying, okay, Corinthians, can we talk? Because this is Corinth, the church of Corinth. And he's like, okay, we need to talk about spiritual gifts because I don't want you to be ignorant of these. I don't want you to be unaware because some stuff was going on in the church and he felt a strong need to bring some teaching and clarification to spiritual gifts. So for those of you who don't know, he talks about how the church should run, not just spiritual gifts, from 1 Corinthians 12, chapters 12 through 14. So, you know when you've been to those weddings and they talk about 1 Corinthians 13 and it's the love chapter we all know and love? He's actually talking about spiritual gifts. Okay, so he's talking about using our spiritual gifts, and in all through 13, he's making the point that if you don't use it in love, if you don't have a loving heart, he's like, it doesn't count, basically. So I'm not going to go into the rest of that today. That could be hours in and of itself, but this is what we're talking about. Now, most of us already have a sense of what some giftednesses are, spiritual gifts are. And I'm going to give you an actual example that happened here, and I'm going to share some examples. So when Kevin and Molly ended up deciding to have a relationship workshop, some of you came to this, and they were the ones, they were going to be responsible for the teaching and the interaction of it. But they were having it here, and they said, well, we need somebody else to handle the rest of what the experience needs to be. So who, if there's any decorations, we need that, food, etc. So who do you think they picked up the phone and contacted? Those of you who have been around the church realize they contacted Terry Scaglione. She's the one that refurbished the cafe downstairs. She has done so many things here. She was contacted. And let me give you an idea of, she has a spiritual gift of hospitality. All right? And we kind of sense that. But I'm going to show you actual examples. So here is something. Terry can transform. People with the gift of hospitality can transform almost any space. So here we're going to show a picture of what the wall behind you actually looks like. And now I'm going to show you what she transformed it into. All right. And if you can see, I know it's a little bit, it's not as big as I'd like, but do you see the balloons? I mean, there's balloons and there's swooping things and there's like huge gold flowers and there's a bee. I mean, and actually, like, who thinks of a bee? I mean, this is amazing. And then she has the wine. Yes, for those of you who missed it, there was alcohol and punch. And that's just one table. I'll show you the other one later. Now, you know when Kevin and Molly decided to do this little workshop thing, you know who they didn't call? Me. I know it's a shock. My poor small group. Basically, we had somebody had the gift of hospitality, and then we're hosting it at my house. And here's my thing. I go, folks, I'll provide popcorn or chips, maybe salsa if you're doing okay or if I'm doing okay, and water. I mean, that's it. All right. So here is what would this thing would look like if I was responsible for it. All right. So here is the space again. All right. Now, putting me on the task, this is what it would look like. I see no need. I mean, it looks fine. I mean, there are wreaths on the doors. It looks great to me. I just don't have that eye. I don't have that ability. People with the spiritual gift of hospitality not only want to transform things, they want to make it feel special for those of us who come into that environment. But I don't want to just leave you here. Okay, so here is what my food would look like. It's the Jewel special, and I feel pretty good about that. You know, cubes of cheese, it looks kind of nice, right? Oh, no, no, not for Terry or her team. She would provide something like this. Now, I know, again, just get the idea. It's, if you were up close like I am, you'll see a red tablecloth. There's cheese, there's sliced cheese. There's like 15 different kinds of cheeses. And then she had them cubed, and then we had wafers, and we had biscuits, and honey, and I mean, it just goes on and on. Chocolate overflowing. I gained 5 pounds that one night. So, this is what hospitality feels like. So when we walked into this environment, we felt special. We felt cared for. We felt like somebody was welcoming us into a safe place. And this is critical in the body of Christ, right? Well, all these gifts are going to be critical, the ones that I walk through. So I'm going to give you some basic information on spiritual gifts, and we're going to stay on page 717. And I talked to you about hospitality, which we'll refer to later, but it's all about connecting and developing relationships. Real quick, another example that's not as extravagant. Justin and JJ Neumeyer, every week they open up their house to have Taco Tuesday. And it's not a big fancy affair, but they create this environment where you can come in and have tacos and salads and things like that and sit down and have relationships and connect with people and laugh. So hospitality can look different. It's the heart of the person that has that gift, right? So let me start. And what we're going to do is I want you to keep in mind these three questions when we go after this first verse. First of all, who gets spiritual gifts? Who gets them? Who receives them? How is Paul, because he's the one writing this treatise, how does he define a spiritual gift? And what or who are they for? All right, so 1 Corinthians 12:11, and again, we're on page 717. I'm not putting it up on the screen. So that's why I was mentioning or directing you to the Bible. So on 717 and page 12, or 1 Corinthians 12:11, here is the answer to those questions. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So who gets them? Each one of us. And folks online, each of you have a spiritual gift. Those of us who have asked Jesus into our lives, we have a spiritual gift. And then what is it? It's a manifestation of the Spirit. So what is a manifestation? One of the definitions is a physical expression of a concept, quality, or deity. So in our case, when we're talking about spiritual gifts, it's an actual manifestation of the Holy Spirit in us. Now, who are they for? The common good. Well, who's the common good? If you read all of 1 Corinthians 12, which I would love to do, but we'd be here for 8 hours, he talks in the beginning and further on, he draws this metaphor between the body of Christ and the human body. So he's saying that the common good is for all of us. It's for all of us in the church. That is what spiritual gifts are. So as we put this together, this is what I think is so exciting. Anyway, each one of us has at least one spiritual gift. More likely, we have more than that. And they have been given to us. It's an actual manifestation of the Spirit. So when somebody is using their spiritual gift, you are actually coming into the presence of God. Let me say that again. When somebody uses their spiritual gift, you actually are sensing the presence of God. That's what a spiritual gift is. Now, all of us, it's for all of us at the church. And I just want to bring up a side point. And for those people who are watching online, or those of us who do online church, so many of us have a good reason for doing that. And we've got, that's the only way we can participate in church. I am not talking to you, by the way. Whoever you are, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the rest of us that sometimes, especially after COVID, it's been more convenient or that kind of thing. Well, here's what I want to say to you is that we miss you. We need you. Because here's the deal about spiritual gifts. The only person that had all the spiritual gifts was Jesus, right? So after he died and was resurrected, we now are him. We're his hands and feet to each other. So if somebody has a spiritual gift and you're not a part of the body, we're not receiving that gift, because the gift is not ours. It's for the rest of us. That's who it's for. And so if somebody is not a part of the body, then not only are we not receiving your gifts, but we're not able to give gifts to you. That's how we're supposed to operate. All right? So now back on to spiritual gifts. I'll quit trying to tear up. That was a surprise to me. All right. So we're going to talk to about the rest of the spiritual gifts. The ones I'm not going to address are the sign gifts or power gifts. That will be addressed at another time. Those are like prophecy, miracles, gifts of healing, those kinds of gifts. And the reason is, in the Vineyard, we tend to highlight those gifts. If you go to other churches, they might highlight the gift of teaching. In another church, it might be evangelism. So I'm going to emphasize the ones that are the non-power or non-sign gifts, because we need to understand, we need those gifts. You know, the church needs those gifts. So on page 717, in verse 8, it says, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice, which is the gift of wisdom. So I'm going to start going through these spiritual gifts. These people are the wise owls in your life. They tend to get, you know, ornaments that are owls or little, you know, stickers or whatever it might be. They're the ones that we go to for helpful, wise advice, especially when we face tough times. We know they will be able to give us some kind of direction and help. They help people take practical action to solve their problems. And a lot of people with this particular gift tend to end up in the counseling profession. It just is unnatural for them. Now, so I'm going to keep going. The end of 8 to 9, to another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge or a spiritual gift of the word of knowledge. Again, I'm not going to address that. I will address this next one. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. So the word actually from the Greek translates to trust, have confidence, believe. Now, just a true confession, these folks I have a love-hate relationship with, just so you know, because I tend to want to be considered and look at my situation as, let's be real about it, let's be practical about it, and these people are just constantly telling me just to trust God, and I'm going, but look at my situation. But they are so needed. So this past year, I've kind of had a trough year in my life, and I have one particular friend, and a number of you have texted me or have given me words of just trust God. He's good. He's going to bring you through this. And these are the people that we need in our life to remind us of that truth, so that we can stand on that. So when we do deal with different situations, we are able to go back and go, you know what? God is good. He is good. and he does love me. The situation doesn't mean that he doesn't love me, which a lot of times that's where my math goes. So they encourage us to trust God for answered prayers and encourage all of us to do the same thing. Moving on, the next one is gifts of healing. By the way, gifts of healing or gifts of healings is multiple. So you could have a gift of physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing. But again, I'm not going to dwell on that. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, another a prophecy. Here's where I'm going to camp on a little bit again. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another person. It's called discernment. Okay? And a lot of times counselors end up having a spiritual gift of discernment, or those with that discernment go into counseling. It's also called distinguishing of spirits, because they are able to discern between good and evil. And there are several ways that they are able to do that. They can look at a person or a sense from a person their motivations. They can see through deceit. It can be a little unnerving sometimes, just so you know. So anyway, but they can also be listening to a message like this. So those of you with the gift of discernment, you are listening to what I'm saying, and you are saying, does this square with scripture or not? Is it true or not? And we need these people, because this is how cults happen. Cults happen when they begin to take a truth and there's a little bit of error. And then it just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. So we need people who have discernment to be able to keep us on the straight and narrow. And sometimes we don't appreciate their comments. Can we just be honest here? But I encourage us to be open to that as we move forward as a church. Now, the next one is tongues or unknown languages, interpretation of tongues. And then we come to verse 11. It says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts, folks. It is the Holy Spirit. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Now, later on in Scripture, Paul says, hey, eagerly desire certain gifts. You can pray to receive them. Some people have discovered gifts that they have later on after years. But this is not something that we control. And I have heard over and over and over, I don't like my gift. I'm like, oh no, I really want that gift over there. And you can pray for that gift, but you know what? It's not up to us. It's really the Holy Spirit. He's going to decide. And here's the awesome thing about him, is that he gives us gifts that are in line a lot of times with the package of who we are, our personality, you know, our other gifts, that type of thing, and our experiences. So, if you aren't happy, just blame him. Okay, so moving on. Here are some of the parts. So in 1 Corinthians 12:28, he then talks about some of the parts God has appointed to the church. Now, there's some teaching that these are offices. I'm going to just dwell on or emphasize the spiritual gift behind it. So the first are apostles or apostleship. These people step up and out to start and oversee the development of new churches. They're church planners. They've done profiles on these folks, and a lot of them can adapt to different cultures or surroundings. It's really interesting, but it makes sense. These people also help start new ministries. So those of you with that gift, we need you and to be a part of the church to help us begin to do what God is wanting us to do if it's new ministries. Second, are prophets. Third, are teachers. These people understand biblical truth and can clearly explain it, but not just explain it. They can then help us apply it in our lives so that we actually change, that we actually grow to be more like Jesus. So these people are critical, and obviously Molly and Kevin are prime examples of that. Now, here's the other thing that with regard to giftedness, This is how we normally view the gift of teaching, is that somebody standing up here. And where it's also seen, of course, is small groups. But you can also be a writer. So those of us who have been blessed by Bible studies that have been written, or they could be a curriculum or other written, there could be blog posts, those people also have the gift of teaching. It's just in a written form. Okay? So, the next thing is, then those who do miracles, those who have gifts of healing, and those who have helps. Now, I love these people. Okay, our churches wouldn't be able to exist without those with the gift of helps. And it literally means, and I love this, to take the place of someone. So they do the necessary or practical tasks. They work behind the scenes and they love it so that others of us can be freed up to do what God wants us to do. And a lot of times those gifts are mixed with others. You will see, we all know there's helps and hospitality downstairs. Back in the booth, we have helps and hospitality there. Andrew, who had been working for years, had a gift of helps. Terry, most likely, has a gift of helps. They have been here for years and years and years. And they are our silent servants. And they are just amazing. So, this is how these things can work together. But moving on. Administrations. In this translation, it talks about leadership. But in most others, it talks about administration, and administration is coupled with leadership. So leadership is the person that casts vision and says, okay, church, this is what I sense God doing, and this is where we're headed. Well, somebody with the gift of administration then comes alongside and says, oh, well, I can help with that. I can help you figure out how to take us from point A to this goal over here. That's what administration do. So they come alongside and they do, let me find my notes. Oh, strategies and plans. They organize us. Oh, and they create tools to make things more efficiently. So this is kind of fun. So there is a leadership level of administration with regard to strategic planning. There is an organizational piece, right, of administration. We all know these people. So on Thursday nights, God prompted me to start a group, and it has to do with spiritual warfare. It's all about freeing people up with healing, dealing with any strongholds that we might have, that kind of thing. So we have a group. So I've been as somebody who leads, I like to develop other leaders, and I'm passing over the baton to somebody else. And it's Ryan Ike. And so one of the first meetings he is responsible for, I want you to see what he serves up to us. Can you see this? It's this incredible spreadsheet. Me? Okay, this is what people were experiencing. Well, I don't know what we're going to do tonight. And here is Ryan. He's like, well, at 6:30, we're going to do this. We're going to pray at 6:45. There has to do with some kind of, you know, spiritual warfare work. And then we're going to I'm like, I get this. And there is just a sense of relief. When people use their gift of administration, and you can take that down, Ryan. When people use their gift of administration, you may think it's not a big deal. It is. It's huge. It brings organization. Organization brings safety. We know what's happening. We know what's going to go on. Now, before I move into the others, just as you think through, I want you, there's a notepad in front of you, and I want to name off these spiritual gifts, and you tell or write down or in your brain, go, do I have one of these? And if you want extra credit, you can think of a significant relationship in your life and see which gift they might have. So just real quick, there's wisdom. If you think you have it, put a W down or whatever you want. Your significant relationship, if you're not sure, a question mark. Then we have faith. We have discernment. We have apostleship. We have teachers. We have helps and administrations. Okay? So just kind of keep a note. Now we're going to move to page 708, so to the left, and it's verse 12:8. And this verse says, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. This is the gift of encouragement or exhortation. And this word means to come alongside of. These people present truth to strengthen. So these are not just, I'm here to make you feel good. All right, let's not confuse this gift. There is not an edge as in a bad edge, but this is an edge that's about truth. All right, so they come alongside people and present truth to strengthen and comfort people and urge them to action, especially those who are discouraged or wavering maybe in your faith or you're in a situation. So we call, and I have, this is one of my gifts, but we are called to challenge people who are kind of stuck. And we're called to come alongside them, love on them, but also, hey, let's take a step. Okay? So this is the gift of encouragement, exhortation. A basic level of this, whether you have this gift or not, is just beginning to encourage others around you. And that's one of the applications, is as you experience other people in your ministry, as you're doing ministry, begin to take note of what they're doing and say, oh, thank you for this. This really ministered to me or blessed me. But that's a basic level of affirmation that is a part of encouragement or exhortation. Giving. Okay, give. If you give, give generously. Most people think these are for people who make millions of dollars. A lot of times it is. But these people, if you have a gift of giving, these people are thinking not how much do I need to give to God. They're thinking how much do I need to live on. So they put a stake in the ground. They say this is what I need. And then God, everything beyond that is yours. So those people who have developed their giving gift, that's how they live their life. I was over in Poland before the wall came down. If you don't know about the wall, Google it. And we were in a ministry for a Campus Crusade, which is now Crew. And here, this person was over Eastern Europe. And this man gets up and he says to all these other people in ministry in Eastern Europe, okay, we need to give. And let me tell you where my wife and I are at. We are now at a place where we're giving 50%. And he goes, our goal is at least 60. And I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh. Like, if I even give $2, really? You know, I mean, I just the idea that somebody is thinking that way was a paradigm switch for me. And I just think that's amazing. So those of you with the gift of giving, you can be from all stratospheres of the socioeconomic area. That is what that looks like. Leadership ability, I already mentioned that. Mercy. If you have the gift of showing kindness to others, mercy. Do it gladly. These are people who cheerfully and practically help those who are suffering or in need. They extend, and this is so key, love, grace, and dignity to those people that are downtrodden. They care about social issues that oppress people. They empathize with hurting people. A lot of times they wear their heart on their sleeves, and they go, many times they're working in hospice or hospitals. One of the folks, when I was on staff for a time, I was meeting with Dakota, and she has a gift of mercy. She's in hospice, but I mean, to hear her stories of the people that she would interact with were just, it brought me to tears. It was just amazing. And she kept visiting these people who were dying. There wasn't a happy ending except for a number of them would end up in heaven. But she was there with them and walked with them. And it was just so inspiring. So Ephesians 4:11 is on page 732. So if you go back to the right in your Bible, it's page 732, 411. We're going to emphasize evangelists. How could we do this without talking about evangelism? It literally means to bring good news. These people challenge unbelievers to faith, to become, you know, followers of Jesus. But here's the thing that they do. They constantly are looking for opportunities to build relationships with unbelievers, to talk about spiritual matters. Now, here's the other thing. I was working on a spiritual gifts curriculum at one point. I started interviewing with people who had evangelism gifts. You know what they constantly do, which is fascinating to me? They were constantly thinking not only of people they wanted to reach, but how can I redirect the conversation naturally to connect with them about spiritual things. I mean, and they were pondering that, and they would process with me and think through it. So this is about trying to find ways, common ground, to then divert conversations to spiritual matters or to God. So shepherding is really basically the second to last one I want to talk about. Shepherds. Okay, there are a lot of you in here. You are called to shepherd a little flock. It could be a big flock like a church. It could be a small group. But you are there to lead and protect those within your span of care. You're there to nurture and care and guide people to growing up to be more like Jesus. We love you, shepherds. And we not only need them in small groups, we need them in ministries. So our Thursday night group, part of shepherds and leadership for ministries, like our Thursday night group, is looking for other gifts. So part of it is we have Matt Donahue, who started engaging people outside of our group to do fun things and get together, all right? But we saw that spiritual gift. That's part of what shepherds and leaders do, is to nurture and build into that. Allison has this gift of hospitality that is unending. And she would throw Super Bowl parties, football parties, you know, and basically, whenever you want to come over, let's just have a party. So, okay, here's what I would do for birthdays. People would feel so special. I would go, oh, I have 5 minutes, I'll run by Jewel. Well, Allison brings in like these elaborate things. She had to bring in her own birthday celebration. It was really sad. I take the lose on or the L on that one. So the point is that shepherds and leaders, okay, I'm talking to you. Shepherds and leaders, we need you. We need you in our ministries. We need you in small groups. We need you so that this church can move forward efficiently and effectively and feel loved. And it's a community. Okay? The last verse or scripture passage, 1 Peter 4:9, is about hospitality, which I've already talked about. There are other gifts. There's worship, there's intercession, there's like craftsmanship and building and things like this. Here's the thing about spiritual gifts. There is not one passage that names every single gift in the same order. They're always different. So what that tells us, what commentators and theologians have told us, is that the spiritual gifts are what is called illustrative. They're examples. They are not definitive. It's not like these are the only spiritual gifts that are listed. Okay? So those are examples of what might be spiritual gifts. And you'll see that in different gift assessments. There's different, there'll be different gifts named depending on which assessment you use. So, all right. So we talked, I had you think about some of those gifts that I mentioned. Then we have exhortation. Do you have that? Do you have giving? Leadership? Mercy? Does your significant relationship have that? Are they evangelists? Are they shepherds? What I want you to do is Think about which gifts you have and start using it. Just try one. Just start using it. And if you're in a small group, try it there. Start using it. If you're in a ministry team, start using it there. The only way you're going to know what gift you have is by being affirmed by us, the body. All right? It's not an assessment. Assessment will give you a window, but the rest of us will affirm you. So what fruit do you have? So one of the things we have started is we asked and said, hey, do people here have gifts of physical healing? If so, let's have them come up. And I think Joel will be here. But there's those who said, yeah, that we've heard from fruit of people who have prayed for people and there's physical healing. So we have invited them to start being a part of the ministry team. So is there fruit? Is God glorified? Are people ministered to? When you use your gift, ask for feedback. Listen for feedback and ask for it. If somebody goes, that really blessed me, I encourage you to go, well, what about it blessed you? Now, here's the deal. You're not digging for affirmation for yourself. What you're digging for is information. How is this gift being used? How can I use it more that way? How can I develop it? So, with all of that, I want you to ask for feedback, and here is a form. You might want to take a picture of it, and it's called a Wagner-Hautz questionnaire. This is the one that Kevin would like us to use at the church, all right? Now, this second, the one in red right there, I finally found one that wasn't a paper copy. Oh my gosh. So this is fillable. As soon as you click, you'll get results, and that will give you a window as to what your gifts are. So your action items are start using it. If you're not sure what you might have, take a questionnaire, and then start affirming that gift for each other. Start looking for those gifts in other people and affirming it.